booming voice. Good morning. From an early age, we've received training from our parents, and if we don't conform to that, we're punished. And then we get into school, it's more of the same from the teachers, and then we get trained from peers, but we're not punished so much, it's more ridicule, right? So all of this training, we'll call it training, is to keep us to act a certain way, an acceptable way. And it breeds conformity. And I'm not really sure if the Spirit is into that. And I think that we bring that conformity into the church with us. And it probably controls our behavior a bit. And it leads to ritual. And I'm not saying ritual is bad, but I think it's real comfortable. And, you know, in physics, a body that's in motion tends to stay in motion. A body that's at rest tends to stay at rest. And when we're comfortable, there's no reason to get up and move. Right? And I think that's what religion is all about. It's about comforting us, helping us deal with our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our failures. So it makes us feel good. But I'm not into this for religion. You know, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want a relationship with an active and living God. Amen. I was praying a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Lord, teach me about faith. Amen. Well, yeah, but then I thought, oh my God, that's going to throw me into a disaster. So I rephrased it. Let me learn about faith. Because then, see, if we approach him that way, we've got an element of control. Right? Yeah. We can learn what we want. But if we say, teach me, well, then you're in the frying pan. When we're here, you know, let's examine some of the songs that we sing. There's all too many of them that are wrapped up with personal pronouns. Now, what are personal pronouns? Things that refer to me or us. A lot of the songs are dominated with I, me, my, us, ours, we. And they're not really directed to the Father. They're about comforting us. Let's watch that, because I think the main reason we're here is to glorify the Lord. But there are times when we need comfort, we need exhortation. But let's not confuse them. That's all I'm saying. We're completely acceptable to the Lord. But it's hard to feel that sometimes. But he made us with weaknesses. I'm not sure why. But that's how we're made. So, you know, in all things give thanks, right? It's okay. Now let's turn, if we could, to Matthew 23. And we're going to look at verse 5. This is Jesus talking about the Pharisees. Of course, that wouldn't apply to us. The Pharisees were the main dudes in the Jewish religion in the day. So, I'm sure they had their strengths and weaknesses also. But in verse 5, he says, he's talking about the Pharisees. He says, they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. And then skip down to verse 22. Let's see, I'm getting there. No, I'm sorry. We're gonna neglect that. But you get the idea. It's really important for us to do things because we're listening to the Spirit, and not because it's popular or will fit in. I don't know. I think that a lot of times the body of Christ is more like sheep and less like warriors than we could be. We all have our weaknesses, and we don't want anybody to point them out. We don't want to make mistakes in our get-togethers, but we need to. This should be the most creative time in our lives, is when we all get together and we express the Lord. He's flowing through us, and there should be so much creativity. You know, obvious things like healings, but also creative words. Because God is the most creative power on earth, and we're sharing in that.
That's right.
Our vessel will always have weaknesses. But it's really not about the vessel, is it? What's it all about? It's about the treasure within. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this earthen vessel, but there's a treasure within it. So I don't know if you take a clay pot and you glaze it and fire it, it's prettier than just a clay pot. It's not about the pot. It's about the treasure it contains. So we don't really need to worry so much about our appearances or making mistakes. A lot of effort goes into trying to eliminate our weaknesses, trying to refine our image. I mean, we're in California. This is the state of image, right? I mean, everything's about image in this state. Now let's go over to Luke 11. There's a fun story there. And maybe we'll see it a little different way. And it's verse 24. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Hey, this is all about cleaning up yourself. You can clean up with a lot of effort. You can get rid of all the weaknesses out of your system, out of your life. But it doesn't improve your state. The way to improve your state is to fill with Christ. When you get a boat stuck on a reef what do? You wait for high tide.
Yes.
It floats it off of the reef. Pretty simple, huh? If you have weaknesses that bother you, cry out for more of Him.
Amen.
Don't worry about your appearance. It doesn't matter. It's the treasure within. Back in the gold rush in the 1800s here in California, was that 1849?
Yep.
Yeah, I figured you'd remember it. I wasn't born, but one of the ways that the miners found the gold is they poured mercury into the streams. I mean, thousands of gallons of mercury.
Wow.
Now, what did the mercury do? It's heavy. It's liquid. It displaced the sand that laid on top of the gold. Where the mercury settled, they found the gold. So it's not about eliminating one thing, it's about filling it with another. So maybe we can do the same thing. It's one thing to, we want to get the right result, but God's kind of like a math teacher. He wants to see the process.
Yeah.
It's not about how you got the answer. I mean, it's not just the right answer. How'd you get there?
Amen.
So we need to keep surrendering. His grace comes more to us when there is weakness, right?
That's right.
Says the weaker members receive more grace. Now, let's skip back a chapter and let's look at something in Luke 10. And this is all familiar to you. And we'll look at verse 38. Okay, now as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Well, let's look at Jesus coming to this home. Because this is where Jesus lives in each of our hearts.
Amen.
Are we busy trying to clean house? Trying to prepare for Him? Or with our weaknesses and our sin and whatever is else there is, can we just sit at His feet and listen?
Amen.
Don't worry about cleaning up your act. You'll never get it right.
That's right.
It's about process. See, we can approach the Lord boldly. Right?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much you flip-flop. Because trust me, I'm one of the best here at that. We can approach Him boldly because Jesus' sacrifice was so perfect that we're all perfect in the Father's eyes.
Amen.
And I know we don't feel that. Maybe we just need to write that on something and pin it on our wall and look at it every day.
Right.
So we remind ourselves that He sees us as perfect.
Yes.
We're not perfect in our own efforts. Remember Saul in the Old Testament, he was instructed by the prophet, I think it was Samuel, to, they were going to enter into battle, and he was instructed to wait for me. I'll be back. Wait for me. Try this on your dog. You know, tell him to stay, wait for me, I'll be back. So Saul started seeing his army leaving. So they were getting weaker and weaker. But we know with the story of Gideon that numbers aren't that important to God. He can do something with almost nothing. And so Saul got nervous and he made a sacrifice to the Lord. And it was not a pleasing one. And he got rejected from being king because he just didn't wait. He didn't listen. Some of us have excellence in some areas, and I would encourage everyone to strive for excellence, but achieve excellence and lay it on the altar.
That's right.
Give it to the Lord. Because, you know, all of us are better at one thing than everybody else. Doesn't matter. Because if we look at that, then we're going to be looking down on people. And God wants us to be excellent, but it's to serve Him.
Amen.
And we want to have love for each other. So we sacrifice our efforts, our abilities, our achievements, all to the Lord, so that we can love and support each other. Right? Okay. That's it. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you.